Mr. Fantastic and Einstein's Wife by LJ User Princess Bunny, read by LJ User One Time Offer. Sam jumps as Rodney grabs her ass, and she hears a voice behind her call out, "You're going to get sued, McKay." Rodney starts laughing, and she turns to see a really hot guy with wire-rimmed glasses and messy hair come up and poke Rodney in the side. "Don't mind him. He's always like this. He grabbed my ass 3 times this week." "Yes, Shepard. If only you'd date me, I'd be a changed man." Rodney rolls his eyes at John's grin and smacks his hand away. "I keep telling you, Rodney, I don't date outside my species." Rodney narrows his eyes and starts twitching. "You're not an ancient, you big ass. How many times do I have to tell you that?" "A million more times than you have already told me, apparently, Mr. Fantastic." Rodney absently runs his hand over his t-shirt and frowns. "Whatever, Einstein's Wife. Don't you have my work to do?" At Sam's confused look, John explains, "I have the gene, stronger than anyone else here. Well, maybe not that bizarre guy you brought in that was on that tape. The one that looks like he takes Hemingway too seriously? Carson won't tell me for certain. Oh, I forgot to introduce myself. I'm John Shepard, PhD in Applied Math and Geometry, Fields Medal winner, and all-around awesome human being. I do the proofs for Rodney's more theoretical work that he doesn't have time for, so I'm Einstein's Wife. It's how I explain my hair." They shake hands, and she opens her mouth to ask more about what's going on. Maybe this guy will tell her a bit more, but they are dragged away by someone speaking something that sounds Russian. Maybe. She's not sure. Daniel would probably know, but if anyone has Einstein's hair, it's that guy. She works with both of them a lot more that week, watching John bent over his notebook and Rodney flailing in front of the endless whiteboards. Rodney yells at everyone around him and hits on half the women. They all seem to ignore him. There are no new people here. One of the female Marines explains that the new ones all go over to Area 51 to get harassed into shape before Rodney is unleashed on their poor hapless souls. Rodney walks past them as the woman is explaining this, and he pulls her red hair in revenge. Sam notices the scientists all seem to be ranked by some unclear system. Certain ones, Dr. Lee, Dr. Felger, Dr. Kavanaugh, are forbidden to even enter the main lab under threat of death and banishment. She thinks someone needs to explain to everyone here that D&D isn't real. They're all forced to work on side projects in the smaller labs. She tries to talk to them, but she's leaps and bounds ahead of Dr. Lee and can't help wondering why he has been here the whole time and she was stuck being a researcher for an asshole. It's a mean thought, but she's tired of men who think they're better than her because they have a dick. She thinks Rodney is only vaguely tolerable because he seems to think he's better than everyone. Kavanaugh doesn't even look at her. She drifts back to the room holding the gate ship to get away from Felger's tentative hello. He seems nice enough, but he's staring at her in a way that makes her slightly uncomfortable. She can't pull her sweater any tighter around her. She gets to the ship in time to see John emerge from the back of it and sigh. She watches as he almost caresses the gate ship as he walks away from it. She raises her eyebrows at Rodney, who is inside the back of the ship pulling out crystals. Rodney frowns at John's retreating back. He's upset you guys are going to take it. In another life, he was apparently the world's most amazing pilot, but in this one, he was in a car accident when he was younger, and it messed up his eyes. Rodney gestures towards his own glasses-less face. So, you know, no flying, but I let him hover the ship around, and he lights up like it's Christmas and his birthday all at once. Rodney turns back to the crystals, and she watches his fingers dance over the edges. It takes her a week to figure out that they are best friends, always in each other's orbits, circling in the pattern of binary stars. They just argue constantly, about books and math and Star Trek. Right now, Sam hears, "Spock's brain, city on the edge of forever." Trouble with Tribbles. "Oh God, just shut up, it's not my fault, I'm Kirk and you're Sulu or something." Everyone in the room laughs at that, even the Japanese woman Sam has never even heard speak. John scoffs, "Please, you want to be Kirk, you big loser. I've always been Spock. I even have the ears." Rodney glares at the side of John's face and kicks his chair. Daniel interrupts them to say something about languages, and everyone is pulled back to the meeting. Sam watches them out of the corner of her eye. They bicker and poke at each other the whole time. She stays to speak with two of the other scientists about the ancient equipment in time to hear John and Rodney fighting over exactly how gay John really is, and whether it's actually measurable by science. John frowns. "Just because you like women doesn't make you superior." Rodney raises his finger. "Ah, but can you actually prove that?" Sam laughs as John starts smacking Rodney with one of the large 5-subject notebooks he carries with him everywhere. She doesn't say anything else, because she has seen Rodney in the hallway earlier, screaming at the top of his lungs at some hapless marine who called John a fag. John had backed off and started to stutter, and Rodney had whipped his head around, opened his mouth, and made the kid cry. She'd never actually seen a marine cry before. She feels a small kind of glee inside at the thought of her dad being reduced to tears by a scientist. Later, when Rodney is pointing out various parts to her on the gateship, John is in the background muttering, "Stupid name, gateship, ha." Rodney stops naming things to snap, "What's that, minion? The head scientist can't quite hear you over here." John tries to step on his foot and ends up shoving Rodney into Sam. John's eyes widen and he starts to apologize profusely as Rodney rolls his eyes and starts to tuck his necklace back inside his shirt. Sam looks over. It's a small, strangely shaped pendant that makes John's eyes soften when he looks at it. She asks Rodney about it, but he blushes and won't explain it. She asks John later, and he pulls a matching one out from under his shirt and shows her. "We got them when we were 11. Rodney carved our initials in the back of them. It's kind of dorky, but, you know, neither of us were ever really into the whole spit-in-your-hand, share blood thing." It's supposed to ward off the evil eye. Rodney's grandmother was really bizarre. He turns it over for Sam to look at the back, and she frowns as she sees the letters MRM on the back of the metal circle. "Wait, I thought you said you have each other's initials on these." "We do. See, Rodney's real name is..." But John can't finish because Rodney sprints from the doorway and tackles John out of the chair before he can say anything else. John is fighting back, but Rodney's hand is firmly over John's mouth and he's straddling him to hold him down. John starts licking Rodney's hand and Rodney pulls it off with a noise of disgust. "Oh God, I've got your saliva on me now. I'm probably going to turn gay." He starts wiping his hand on John's shirt as John giggles. Rodney smacks John's stomach to get him to stop, so John counters by grabbing Rodney's hand and sucking on one of his fingers. Rodney turns really red, but he doesn't move off John or even flinch. John starts laughing for real now, and Sam stares because it's kind of a horrible sound coming out of such a pretty man. Rodney just pats John's stomach to calm him down and has a resigned look on his face. Sam wonders how long it will take for John to get his way. It only takes a month, actually. John comes over one Saturday to find Rodney drunk and morose on the couch with empty beer cans all over the floor. He kicks them out of the way and slumps down next to Rodney. "What's wrong, buddy?" He starts patting Rodney's shoulder and looking concerned. "You still have your dual citizenship, right?" "Yeah, of course I still have it. Why? Do you need to leave? Did something happen? Is Jeannie okay?" Rodney waves him off. "I think we should get married." John stops looking concerned, and there's a lot of yelling for a while. Rodney's head hurts, but in the end, he gets John saying yes and kissing him softly. Then a little less softly, and okay, the gay sex goes better than Rodney thought it would. The next morning, John is smugly making pancakes in Rodney's kitchen as Kat twines around his legs. Rodney tries to remain stoic about the fact that they already have a child together. He leans against the counter and watches John move around the stove, dropping batter and humming. John finally looks over at him and smiles. "Hey, want some?" Rodney laughs and ducks his head. He definitely does want more than some, but he stays there with his arms folded against his chest. John gestures with the spatula, flinging uncooked batter on the wall and shrugs. "It's okay, Rodney. I needed a new toaster anyway." Rodney's shoulders shake as he starts to laugh, and he fumbles across the room to bury his face in John's neck. He smells familiar and safe and a little bit like Rodney. It's strange to think his whole life was headed here.